And welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday morning edition of the Grace Hour. We appreciate you joining us today, friends, and we're excited about this week's theme. And we want you to know that our podcast is coming to you live today, right here, from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in Baltimore, Maryland. And of course, this week's theme, if you've been listening, are the essentials of spiritual life. And today, Pastor Schaller and myself will focus on the subject and the theme of fellowship within our community. Why is fellowship so important? What are the benefits of fellowship between believers in a local assembly and worldwide for that matter? These and other topics we'll discuss as we focus in on this week's podcast theme of the essentials of spiritual life. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio today, Pastor Schaller will be your host for today's podcast. And we want to remind you, the chat is available for those of you that would like to weigh in, share your thoughts with us. If you'd like to make a comment or ask a question, please feel free to do so. And as those questions and comments come into our studio, we'll let you know that we've received them, and we'll do our very best today to answer some of those questions. Pastor Schaller, this is a great theme to be discussing on today's podcast because of the importance of Christian fellowship. And I think we understand why it's so important. Perhaps there are some of our listeners that would debate that issue and say, well, you know, I'm a believer. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I don't see the need for a local church. I don't see the need to come together with other believers in a consistent basis and have that kind of fellowship from time to time. I speak with my friends on the phone or we have a Zoom meeting. Why would you say fellowship is so vital and so important in our lives as believers?
Well, we have relationships in life, and they are the most important things in life. It's not good for a man to be alone. So relationships, and we have them everywhere, at work, friendships, relatives, neighbors, close relationships, broken relationships, broken hearts, distance between people, relationship. And basically, that's what life is about. And we have the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as evidence that the essential nature of God's reality is relationship. Mm-hmm. That God is God, and in God, there's relationship. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
And coming together as like-souled, like-minded believers means a lot to God. I mean, that was the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. One part of that prayer was, Father, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Mm-hmm. So that unity that's expressed and manifested to a watching world sends a message, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And the message is the Father has really sent the Son. When you look at a local assembly and the love and the encouragement and the exchange of Christ's life that goes on between members in a local assembly, that sends a powerful message to the world.
Yeah, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I. So we're very much drawn to that. I visited Big Dave yesterday at his home, and we just had a great talk, and we talked about what really got a hold of our hearts when we first became believers. And essentially it was hearing the word, you know, going to the church and sitting and listening, and the anointing of God, the Spirit of God present in the room was so strong that it got our attention. We were receiving the content of the message, and then we saw it in the lives of people in the room. Excuse me. And then when there's a little talk afterwards, and the pastor is giving a little talk after and answering questions, and then you get to know the person next to you, and then you're realizing that actually this is the life of God. in a way, we didn't say that right away because we didn't know what it really was. But why did we keep coming back? Well, because the presence of God in the room, the content of the message, the love that we had in our hearts for each other, and this was actually life-changing. And in his life, as in mine, I had bad habits and he had bad habits, but they started to disappear. We started to prefer the fellowship of the saints with the content of the word and the presence of God than our own way.
Mm. And isn't it true that when you're born of God, I guess the best way I can describe it is you start thinking differently and you start speaking differently. In other words, we have a language of our own, and the language is spiritual in its nature. If you're a born-again Christian and you go to your job or your workplace and no one else there is a born-again believer, there's not going to be any fellowship.
Yeah.
But when you come together with other believers and you're speaking that same language, they understand what you're saying. And then there is a sharpening that takes place, like as iron sharpens iron, so we can sharpen one another's faith and our one another's countenances. That's so important, isn't it?
Yeah. We would say the Spirit. And what do we mean by that? That's the Holy Spirit that is sent into the world, and that he is here in the world. In John 14, Christ introduced him to the disciples, even though he was with them, but he wanted to make it clear, I'm going away, but I send another who is like me, and he will guide you into all truth. Well, if Jesus was in a physical body in Israel for a limited time, but he said, it is necessary that I would go away and send another. And that means he's in Korea, Russia, China, Argentina, around the world through the last 2,000 years, teaching us. We have an anointing that teaches us 1 John 2:20 and 2:27. The anointing teaches us, and we have fellowship with him. Like Pastor Love, you've met people that you didn't even know them, even from another country, but actually Christ is in them. Have you recognized that ever?
Yes, absolutely. And then there's a real exchange of Christ's life that goes on between us.
Mm.
And you don't have to, you don't really have to get to know them to have that fellowship, because each of us have been baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ.
Yeah, and actually, in a way, it's better that we don't know that.
Yes.
I mean, there are things about their life I'm sure could be a disappointment, but that's not the center of our fellowship.
Exactly.
If they are walking in the light, God has cleansed them from all unrighteousness. And they are walking in fellowship, and the blood of Christ cleanses us. And then we're walking in the light, and that's what we want to know about each other.
Yes.
That we're walking in the light, that we have fellowship with each other.
We know the way God sees us. He sees us as cleansed, forgiven, seated together with him in heavenly places. And imagine if that carries over into our relationships and fellowship with other believers, we start to see them the same way.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to get to know them after the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that God does not deal with us after the flesh, we don't want to deal with them after the flesh.
Could you explain that, what that means, after the flesh, knowing them after the flesh?
Well, it may mean that you know their personality. We mentioned a few moments before the broadcast started, you know, there could be soul attachments. You like a person's personality. You like their background. You like the music they listen to. You like the places that they like to go and visit when they have free time. You like the television programs that they watch. All of that could help you to better understand who they are after the old Adamic nature, but you're not really fellowshipping with the new man in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want. And isn't it true that this kind of fellowship that we have with other believers, it's God's way of building his church?
Yeah.
The church is built up. I think of what Paul wrote to the Ephesians. He says, the whole body joined, knit together – by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working of which every part does its share and causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That sounds like this is how the church grows, when this kind of authentic fellowship happens between believers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, even you know, let's say the Apostle Peter, who denied the Lord three times. I mean, when I have fellowship with Peter, I may be aware of that he has denied the Lord three times, but that's not the identity that I have with him in fellowship. Like, do I know him after the flesh? Like, I don't deny the fact that he denied the Lord three times, but he can bring it up to me if he wants to. You know, I could ask the questions too, but at the same time, the Spirit of God is also the Spirit of grace, Spirit of truth. He's been dealt with. He's been convicted by God. He's been forgiven, and now he's an apostle. So when I fellowship, do I know him after the flesh? And I can't get away from the fact. I kind of blame him for denying the Lord three times, you know. Mm. And I can't get away from that, like, because that's my focus. But when Christ is between us, our focus is different. It's really him and his love, his message, his forgiveness, his encouragement, his wisdom. It's a different mind.
Yeah, I love that thought of the encouragement. You know, some people say, well, you know, I don't think that I really need to go to church because I'm doing just fine. Well, that might be your perspective, but what about what you bring to the table? What about the encouragement that you could provide for someone else? We know it goes both ways. We know that we make a contribution toward others, and others make a contribution toward us. And that's how the body of Christ grows. Mm-hmm. But I think for someone to say, well, you know, maybe I don't need it. Well, okay, that might be your perspective, but what if someone needs you? Mm. What if they need your portion, mm-hmm. your encouragement, your words of faith? I love what Paul wrote, if Paul indeed wrote the book of Hebrews, about how we should consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good mm-hmm. works. There's a great reason to come together with other believers.
Yes.
So that we would stir each other up unto mm-hmm. love and faith and good works.
I want to get into this a little bit this way, that Have you been to a church when the service is over, the parking lot is empty, like immediately? What's missing?
Fellowship.
Yeah. Now, there can be relationship, you know, like people knowing each other after the flesh, like we said, you know, maybe what is their economical status? What is their educational status? What part of town do they live in? What is their business? You know, and the church is all about, years ago when I was preaching in Poland at a Bible school, the director asked me to teach about fellowship. And I said, why? He said, because in our churches, after the meeting is over, they talk about bread and kielbasa and where they can get the best prices. And I mean, that's the fellowship. And he said, can you teach us about fellowship? So we had a good time. But I mean, this session today reminds me of how you can be a believer, but maybe lacking in actual satisfying, deep and personal fellowship. Can you address that a little bit, Pastor?
Yeah, I think when you see a church service come to a conclusion and then everybody, you know, hits the doors and looks to get in their cars and go home, you're actually missing out on something that's just as wonderful as the message that you just heard, and that's the exchange of life that happens between believers. There's I mean, we've been a part of it. You know, these conferences overseas, you'll have a message or a couple of messages that are preached, but that just seems to open the door to all kinds of fellowship that could last, honestly, in some instances, for hours.
Yeah.
I mean, the message may be over in an hour. The service could conclude in an hour, but the fellowship could go on for several more hours because now we're having communion over the truth that we just heard. Now we're having an exchange. A contribution is being made to others and others with their contributions made to you. It results in tremendous encouragement and edification in our souls.
Yeah. And even in our church here, there might be a time in the message where we'll say, turn to your neighbor and repeat what I just said to your neighbor. And I know that there are people that may not like that because they don't know who they're standing next to, and so on, or they weren't listening well. But it's a discipline. This week has been prayer. We tomorrow, I believe, is on worship. Today is in the Word. It was Tuesday, I believe, and then today is fellowship. So let's just recognize the need of learning to listen and talk. But you're not. It's not a chatterbox or about minutia, like details in life or about those things. It's about what I heard, how I process it in my heart in Christ, to learn how to speak with wisdom, with love, with freedom, and candidness. To be candid and to be honest and to be talking, but then I have it in mind that at the end of the service to do this. You know, we do it a little bit sometimes, but it actually is what you said. We are in worship, we are singing, then we do the sermon. Now we've got something from the sermon. Now package that in your heart and say one or two sentences that are coming from the sermon to your neighbor and see if there's any kind of communication where you have fellowship. Actually, there's a Bible verse that says to the Philippians that we had fellowship in the gospel. Mm. Fellowship in the gospel, you know. Mm.
Yeah, I love that.
It does take some learning and training, but I really believe that it could help us learn how to talk. But I mean, church service is a very small part of that training. Mm-hmm. I can get training in Bible school about it. I can get training in a more casual fellowship, a small home group, for example, or a prayer meeting where there's time before or after.
It gives us a chance to demonstrate our love for other people as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
There's just so many benefits. What about the whole idea of accountability? I mean, a part of that fellowship could be to approach a brother on purpose with the goal of edifying them, but to say, you know, how are you doing spiritually?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you struggling in any area of your life? And again, going back to what we just mentioned about not getting to know each other after the flesh, that's not the purpose behind it. The purpose behind it is, how can I edify you? How can I build you up? How can I provide some encouragement in that area of your life that you may be struggling with?
Mm.
We're just doing this so that we can keep each other sharp and, you know, keep the guardrails up in each other's lives so that we don't slip into some kind of behavior that would ultimately ruin our faith or bring reproach upon the name of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That accountability is important, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You know, the more I learn to fellowship, intentionally participate in it as an initiator or responder, the less time I have for my own thoughts.
Yes.
You might say, well, I want to have my own. Well, I have my own thoughts too, but in the fellowship of the mind of Christ, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I want to have. And also, to mentally, get, you know, drift from where I should be, you know, mentally drift into depression, mentally drift into criticism, mentally drift into judging. But I can have a relationship with God and be mentally occupied with the truth that sets us free.
Yes.
This is the mind of Christ. This is the cleansing effect of the water of the word. Like, you can do a Bible study on that. Mm. There are three that bear witness on the earth: the water, the blood, and the spirit. Mm. And these three agree in one: the water of the word, the blood of Christ, and the spirit of God.
Mm. You know, you've often used the illustration of the two floors, the first floor and the second floor.
Mm.
I mean, that first floor, you could be with other believers in that first floor, and you could be talking about your problems. You could be talking about, you know, the difficulty. You could be talking about how bad the political situation in the world looks right now. But it takes a spiritual person to initiate fellowship and to say, yes, we could talk about those things, but let's go upstairs.
Yeah.
Let's go to the second floor.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how God is better and bigger than our problems.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how, you know, the powers that be, they are ordained of God, and we can find peace and rest knowing that, being confident of that. In other words, it just makes sense that you would go upstairs to the second floor and have a more spiritual conversation and bring your relationship with God into that communion and that fellowship and relationship with the other person.
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to the first floor, and because you've been in the whole house, you have God. God is actually in the whole house. The problem with people that have only a first floor is that that's all they have to orient to. But if you've been in the whole house, you have a different orientation. Mm. I can live in a prison too, but I prefer to have a bigger orientation than just the first floor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. I mean, this is a good example, I think, and a good illustration of the life that transcends this world is God's life. God transcends this world. And in God, and if he gave us his mind, 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. If he gave us a new heart, a new spirit, if he gave us this book, these words, what if I get saturated with these words and this water cleansing me and elevates me out of my troubles? Oh, okay, I'm still in my troubles, but I have a different orientation to them. And that is that God is an ever-present help in every time of need. What about that?
Mm.
And that I had almost perished. My foot had slipped, except in the land of the living. I forget the end of Psalm 27, maybe. He will give us in the land of the living. I'm sorry, I don't remember. 36:9, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Mm-hmm.
So we are, you know, in his presence is fullness of joy. Abide in the vine and you will bear fruit.
Yeah.
You will have joy. I will hear your prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You will have friends. I am your friend. The world will hate you, but I have loved you. I will take care of you, you know. So.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Because we have a transcended life, we should have transcending conversations.
Yeah,
with
okay.
each other.
Okay,
we need that.
Yes,
I mean, I'm thinking of David, a young shepherd boy who shows up at the camp of his brothers while the battle rages between the children of Israel and the Philistines, and of course, this is when Goliath is coming out every day and mocking the children of Israel and asking for them to send someone out to challenge him. And it's almost like all of his brothers and the soldiers are living in the first floor. And they could tell you how big Goliath is. They could tell you how much, you know, his armor weighs, how big his spear is. They can tell you everything about Goliath. It's like when you talk to some people, they can tell you everything about their problems. They can articulate their problems. They know every detail about their problems. But it takes someone like David to initiate and to say, no, but God is greater than he is. God is stronger than he is. You know, I'm not going to face this battle with the understanding that you give me. I'm going to go into this battle knowing what God is able to do for me. Just that's the transcending kind of conversation that David had with others.
Now, have you ever been with a brother or you know, like you're in fellowship with them and around you is kind of a mess, but the fellowship you have with that brother is like not a mess?
Yeah.
I mean, the bus ride I'm having, I mean, we're on an old bus in Turkmenistan in Ashgabat. I mean, this is a real story. I mean, the bus is old and fallen apart, and we hired it to take us like to a church picnic. We're winding our way. We were the day before in the town handing out some tracts in the bus, you know, and we're having a good time in our fellowship, but then the bus has got problems and we end up, the bus stops, not willingly, but it breaks down in front of a house in a mountain, a high land region on our way to the picnic. And we go to the door of a house looking for a phone or looking for help. And the woman comes out and she brings a track that she had gotten in town, you know, yesterday. And we're just having a great time, like thinking our bus just happens to stop in front of a woman's house who had gotten a track and wanted to hear about the message. You know, bus break. So there's like kind of like a mess on the outside, but you're having fellowship with God and recognizing the work of God that you're part of.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
And that is resented by people. Yeah. Yeah, you should be realistic. You know, you are in a mess. You should get serious about this. Mm-hmm. But then we may not be. And they may resent that because we're not serious people or realistic or something, but actually we're in fellowship.
That's right.
With Christ.
Yeah. And our problems may be great, but someone says, but God is greater.
Yeah.
I mean, only two words, but God.
Yeah.
You know, I'm struggling financially, but God promises to meet all my needs through the riches of his grace in Christ Jesus, right?
Yes.
I'm in a lot of trouble. But then I read the Bible and God tells me I'm in Christ and I'm having some trouble, but he'll get me through it because I'm trusting him with my life.
Mm.
It's just, you know, just go upstairs.
Yeah.
Go to the next level.
No, like you learned it in the process of time.
Yes.
Like when you're with some people that you, and let's break it down, initiate fellowship.
Exactly.
Can you explain that a little bit? Because let's say people don't really know. They just, if we happen to fall into fellowship, that'd be great, but maybe we're not. We got a picnic. We're talking about the cars and badminton and sports and NFL and politics. So, but if we fall into a fellowship about God, or people might say religion, you know, then okay, we would welcome that. But tell us about deliberation, intentional initiation regarding fellowship.
I absolutely love to be around people that initiate fellowship.
Okay.
Because the fact of the matter is, not everybody does.
Yeah.
Our makeup, our old sin nature, cleaves to the dust. The natural man cleaves to the dust.
Mm.
His conversations are dusty. His problems are dusty. Everything. And if you leave people there, they will stay there.
Yeah.
They will stay there. They will find some contentment in their trouble and their woes and their problems and their difficulties. But it takes someone of a spiritual mind that says, well, have you thought about what God could do if you trusted him? Have you prayed about this situation? Maybe we could do that right now. Young people, teenagers in particular, they have a tendency to just keep things on the first floor level. They just want to talk about everything that's going on, mm-hmm. their relationships, school, sports. And what I've noticed is that if you don't initiate fellowship, there won't be any. You have to step into it. And sometimes the look on some faces are like troubled, almost like you get the look that says, oh, we have to talk about God. We have to talk about spiritual things. You have to ask me, you know, what's going on? What's God doing in my life? Couldn't we just keep it on a lower level and just talk about the things that everybody likes to talk about? But I love that, because sometimes the people that are troubled when you initiate fellowship, at the end of that fellowship, are very, very thankful that you did. Mm-hmm. Because now they're encouraged. Mm-hmm. Now they're thinking on a different level. Now they're rehearsing in their hearts and minds the things that God has done or the things that God can do. Mm-hmm. And it really makes a difference. Mm-hmm. I just love being around people that you don't have to wait for them to initiate fellowship. That's why they're there.
I have a couple like cold starters that you can share with somebody mm-hmm. for fellowship, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll give you one of them. I'm sure you have, but it goes like this. You know, you're with the young person. You say, let me ask a question. Is that okay? You can ask me a question. I can ask you a question. Okay. So we have a little bit of an agreement, you know, they can ask me a question. I can ask them a question. That's all neutral. That's fair. You know, like any question. Well, what do I ask you? Well, anything you want to. And then it's my turn. So then I say, okay, if you were to get one wish, and there is a Bible story about this, that God gave a man a wish, whatever he wished for, what would you wish for? Mm. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's your call. What do you want? What would you want if God was to say? Or, you know, the I Dream of Genie television show years ago, remember?
Sure.
The genie out of the bottle, like, what do you want? Okay, so like that fable or whatever it was. If God was to ask you, what would you say? So you know what I'm getting at is yeah. Solomon was made that offer and he answered wisely. And so what, you know, we can talk about that. I would wish for money. I would wish for the death of my enemies. I would wish for long life. These are the things God said, because you did not ask for these things, but you asked for wisdom to guide your people. Then I'm going to give you that plus the other three things
wow.
that you didn't ask for.
Wow. Yeah.
So then we have something to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can do it with a stranger. You can do it with a teenager that you know, a family member.
Yeah.
But to have some initiation.
Yeah.
And look for and be a good listener.
Yes.
And if you can, instead of like, don't be preachy or talking a lot unless you really feel it's appropriate. But why not ask another question, you know? Mm. Like, why would you say that? Why would you ask for that? Like, you know, tell me about it and, you know.
Yeah, that's very creative. That's a great way to approach people,
too. Yeah. Mm.
Because, I mean, if we are in the presence and in the company of other believers, fellowship is the norm. But if we are in the presence and the company of unbelievers, then evangelism is the norm.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, we're around other believers to be encouraged in our faith and to encourage them in their faith.
Yes.
To build one another up and to just to love each other and to practice everything that we've ever heard in through the scriptures in our lives. But when we're around unbelievers, yeah, that's a great way to initiate a conversation that can lead to sharing the gospel.
Yes. And I think for some unbelievers, they would like to know or think that you listen to them.
Yes.
Like behind it, like you said, evangelism, I would like to have an impact in their life, but then it might be that, you know, I could say, like, things to encourage the relationship. Like, wow, that's amazing. You know that. That's good to know. Thanks for sharing that. Or, you know, being joyful, kind, loving, informed, interested in their things, you know. Like they're building a car in the garage. Like, oh, how did you do that? And learn from them and that kind of giving and taking. And then maybe, they would be drawn to the faith.
Yes.
Could be.
Yeah.
Or to you.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
like, who cares about my car in the garage? But you do.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Like, yeah, I want to tell you about my car. Mm. I'm fixing it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. When you read in the book of Acts as the early church gets started, the pattern is the one word that comes to my mind is that they were together.
Yeah.
They were together. And today we see a lot of young people in this generation that say, I'm not so sure that that's necessary any longer. You know, I think I can be a Christian without assembling with other Christians. But I think that they're robbing themselves of one of the more important parts of our faith, which is to have that exchange of Christ's life between each other.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you have a group of young people, they don't have fellowship, but they are together at the cafes and events and so on, it gets tiring. And then if they are in fellowship and you have somebody leading them or you're talking about these things, it can be quickening. There can be life there, and they are attracted to that conversation, yeah, or they are attracted to be with you. Like, let's go sit with John Love, and because he's always got something good to say. Like, he's encouraging. We laugh together. We talk. He is a word of wisdom. He's kind. You know, so that is and they can tell the difference between hanging out, like I'm maybe embellishing a little bit, but hanging out at a bar room or hanging out at an event where there's not really much content versus sitting with wise people, loving people, happy people, thankful people that maybe break out into singing or, you know, are telling a good healthy joke and caring about each other and listening to each other and like, what's going on in your life? Tell me.
Yeah.
What's happening in your life really, you know?
Yeah.
Now, personally, I've been bored in my life. But then, I've got a revival going on in my life right now.
Yeah.
And what's going on in your life, you know?
Yeah.
And you interact and feel they are a believer, but they need to be encouraged and loved and given a little direction. And that's what you might give them. Or they may give to you.
Yeah.
Because you need it as much as they do.
And there's nothing quite like it.
No, there isn't.
This is the time of the year when we as a ministry, you know, your secretary, Jen, sets up these opportunities to go into nursing homes. And we go over there with our students from the Greater Grace Christian Academy. And we sing the Christmas carols. And we share the gospel. These people's faces light up.
Yeah.
They need that.
Yes.
They long for that. Maybe they don't get visits from family members or loved ones or friends anymore. And just to be there and to see their faces, that is so, so worth it.
Mm.
And it just makes such a difference. We're all the same way. I mean, I remember when my leg was broken playing hockey and I was housebound for a few weeks and I couldn't get out. There was such a longing in my heart to be here back at church.
Yeah, really?
For just to see the faces of like-minded believers.
Yeah.
Just to worship God together in the presence and the company of his church. Just to receive the encouragement. I mean, I was like a parched soul and I walked into, you know, this rain-drenched congregation that just brought new life into my heart. There's nothing quite like being together with the body of Christ.
Yeah, yeah. That's so good.
It's everything.
It's well said, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Well, we're out of time, Pastor Shala, but this is such a great theme, such a great subject. We hope that our listeners have appreciated today's podcast, and we want to remind you that we're going to be back with you tomorrow at the same time, and our theme's going to be worship. And I think that worship, wow, talk about an essential of our spiritual lives. There's nothing quite like worship. We were made for that, weren't we?
We were. Yeah. We were, absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for this time.
Yeah.
It was great, Basil.
Yeah, really.
We have
great fellowship.
We have fellowship with each other. Thank you, Lord.
And thank you, folks, for joining us. We do want to remind you, we'll be back tomorrow at the same time for the next live podcast. We hope you'll tune in then. Until then, may God bless you.